This is fun because we really thought that Nick's top five would be Eternals, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Spider-Man, and Halloween Kills.
So. All right, I'm gone. Thank you.
We did it.
You're listening to We Explain Movies.
Podcast time. Podcast time.
Podcast time.
Podcasting together. Podcasting.
Yeah,
all of us together. Yeah, dang.
We haven't done this yet.
This is gonna be scary.
We look like we're the Power Rangers in our Zord, and it's like cutting to all of us in our different like
dibs on the areas. Pink Ranger. Dibs on the Pink Ranger.
Whoa, the Pink Ranger's name is Kimberly.
Can we all be the Pink Ranger?
Dibs on the Pink Ranger.
Is we there a all gray the Pink Ranger?
There's no Gray Ranger.
Okay, I'm Dagger Montgomery. Okay,
that's the Red Ranger. Jesus, we're gonna fall in love.
This is amazing, though.
I wish we were talking about Power Rangers, but no. We're talking about our top five favorite movies of the year 2021.
Woo! Woo! With our guests, Nick and Jordan.
Yep. And to start, we said you could do some honorable mentions because we were slutty and already made a whole episode about it.
Yes.
So things that did not make your cut. Anyone want to start?
May we start?
That I was literally going, I have that as a note. I was like, oh, this opening, maybe I can use that when we start the podcast episode.
What does that mean?
I don't
understand.
It's an Annette thing.
It's an Annette thing. You wouldn't understand.
It's an Annette thing. Okay.
Exactly.
Jordan, you should go first.
So my honorable mentions, I have a couple, and they're kind of grouped together. The first being Encanto and Raya. Mm. I really, really loved those movies. But I think those are sort of like they're good in the background. They weren't perfect, but I really, really like them. And I think that they need to be mentioned in some way, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm also not going to talk about Spider-Man, even though that one was, it slapped so hard, but everything that is great
Higher.
About that movie.
Higher.
I also really loved Shang-Chi and Higher. Spider-Man. I mean, Black Widow.
Shang-Chi and Spider-Man again.
I kind of lumped all the Marvels together. Not Spider-Man. Eternals. That's what I meant to say. I really liked them, but action movies, they're not something that I would, like, immediately watch again. So those are my honorable mentions.
I have literally a 10 through 6 because y'all did it, so I did
That's
it too.
That's funny.
Okay.
Raya and the Last Dragon.
Mm. Oh.
Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's all
I love that movie.
I need to watch that.
So happy for you.
It's so like playful and fun. And I think during our Austin Powers episode, Jordan compared.
Yeah. I like that
the
comparison.
Fun and the comedy of that movie to this. And I'm like, wow, that totally fits. Mm. Absolutely.
Honestly, the title of that movie makes me giggle every time.
I told you about that one amazing line, too, where they rhyme even more with
it. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Can you say it again?
I know.
Yeah.
I was trying to think what it was.
It's just like,
we're Barb and Star. We're
Barb and Star. We are who we are. Unlike you, Edgar, you big effing liar.
Edgar.
Yeah, that line hits.
Yeah, that is a very good line. Then 8 is The Suicide Squad.
Oh,
and I think it gets major points for being so much better than the
original
Suicide Squad, and that logic reappears in my list later.
Oh.
You'll see, I guess. And I just really liked that movie. I thought it was really fun and really nicely directed, and I liked pretty much all of the characters except the one that they gave the television show to.
Oh, Peacemaker?
Yeah, fuck him.
I know, give the weasel a show.
Yeah.
Bring my baby boy Pete back from the dead.
Yeah, I would watch the weasel show.
The 7th one is Don't Look Up. I know that that's of mixed opinions on that. I've really enjoyed that movie. Like, I watched it with Jordan, and he had a lot of negative feelings about it. And I don't know, I was just like, oh my god, I'm having so much fun, especially when Ariana Grande made that song. And I was like, this needs to win Best Song of the Year, like,
funny.
At the Oscars.
Oh, dear Lord.
Couldn't it totally get nominated, though? Okay, and Night House.
Nice.
Okay, let me just preface this. I went and saw that movie in the middle of the day because of COVID and stuff. I was like, I'm not going to go at any time where it might be crowded. Well, guess what? Only person in the theater. And that movie is so scary.
That is scary, yeah.
I was constantly looking behind me.
Yeah.
To the point where I don't even think I finished my popcorn. And that is an anomaly, to be honest with you. I was just like, That movie impressed me because, okay, am I going to get her name wrong? Rebecca Hall, is that her name?
Yeah.
Her face acting is like some of the greatest face acting
I've ever seen. We loved her.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
I saw a Letterboxd review for a movie of hers we just watched, and someone called her fans hall monitors, and I was like, that's so funny.
That is amazing.
So,
wow.
Hall monitors unite.
Very cool. So those are my
love it.
6 through 10, my honorable mentions.
Oh, sweet.
Love it.
All right. We're getting into this. Our top 5 favorite movies of 2021. We explained the rules off air, but essentially, we're going to go in a nice little roundabout, and if you say your 5th favorite movie is The Power of the Dog, and then we all say higher because it's all of our number 4, we just keep going, and we move on from there.
Yeah.
So yeah, shall we start with our guests?
Yeah, let's do guests first.
Nicholas, would you like to start?
Okay, I know that this has been in some of y'all's 6 through 10s. I can't remember if it's in all of y'all's 6 through 10s, but I know it. I feel like it's in a couple. Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings is my number 5.
You are safe. Talk about it, Nick.
It's just so much fun. I love how Awkwafina feels just as much of a contributing character as Shang-Chi does. Honestly, I kind of like her character more. I feel like, you know, obviously it's because she's like the funnier one and the one I know. It's just a really, really fun bringing back Trevor Slattery is like...
Yes.
I heard you say that. It's like peak cinema.
I liked it.
Absolutely. It's so... I knew it was happening. I knew that he was coming back, but it was like...
Yeah.
I just did not expect him to have that big of a role and be that important. I mean, he's like the reason that they're able to get to that town. I can't remember the name of it. You know how, like, every Marvel movie seems to end with, like, a big CGI battle?
Yeah.
And, like, this one obviously is no different. But, like, something about this one's big CGI battle, I was like, oh, this is, like, some new I think it was just the dragon.
It's, like, the first monster. That's not, like, a human monster that was made into a lizard or something.
It's not.
We talked about that on one of our Watched This Weeks, like, we talked about how nasty those monsters are. They're literally the creepiest monsters I've seen in the Marvel Universe, I think.
They are fucked up, the fact that they got Tony Leung and Michelle Yeoh in an American-made, like, kung fu superhero movie, like, those guys are, like, on the other side of the world. If America actually, like, accepted foreign films, like, they would be some of the biggest stars that we know. You know what I mean? There are legends over there. And it's just amazing that they were able to get them. And, like, they're not throwaway roles. Like, especially for Michelle Yeoh to come in so late in the movie. Fuck. That was some... I'm sorry for cussing. I don't know what this
is. Oh, no. Cuss away, babe.
Yeah, okay. No, you guys... Okay, never mind. no, I think that's good. Nice. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, we all liked it.
Yep. Oh, this is one of the movies that Jordan and I, when we go see movies, we buy an extra seat so that nobody sits near us.
That's expensive.
Well, I mean, so is COVID. So is a COVID hospital stay.
Yeah.
But that was one of the ones where we actually benefited from that.
Nice.
Do you buy one on either side of you?
No, I sit on the end, then Bernie and... I sit on the end, then Jordan, and then... than the nobody. So, but I only get like a kid seat.
Oh, that's
nice. This is our son.
This is our son.
Yeah, he's invisible. Yeah, he's invisible.
And then when they try to fight you about it, be like, he's dead. How does that make you feel now?
I just keep buying it because I hope one day he'll show up.
Buy a ticket for baby Annette to sit next to you.
I was going to say, we just need to bring like...
an American Girl doll.
Will an employee question you if you're like, this is my kid and you mean it?
If I were an employee, I probably
would. They're like, you know what, dude? You fucking don't do
that. No, you would just become a story I would not.
Cool. My number 5 is Candyman.
Oh! Wow.
Higher.
Oh, really? Oh,
spicy
already.
This is spicy. Sorry, Jordan, no more talking for you.
Okay, I have a feeling I'm gonna get bumped, but my number five is Spencer.
Get the fuck out of here. Higher.
Bumpity bump.
Bumpity bump. You know what you bumpity can have? Bump. You can have Diana the musical.
I don't want that.
She's not gonna have space for that.
I don't want that.
Okay. My number five is Tick, Tick, Boom.
That's my number five.
Sweet. Oh.
Okay, does anyone else have that higher? Okay, well then let's talk about Tick, Tick, Boom.
It was
Tick,
my
Tick,
number Boom. Eight, if yeah. you all recall.
Yeah, she talked about it last time.
Also, Shang-Chi was my number nine.
Yeah,
and it was my number six.
Yeah. I don't like Rent.
Oh. I know. Tell me about it.
God, Nick, if Whoa. It wouldn't make editing harder for Courtney, I was going to end the fucking call right now. I'm not even kidding.
We need to talk about Rent at some point.
I just watched School of Rock today, and every time Adam Pascal showed up, I was like, ah!
I watched it with my sister, and I was like, when he came on, and she was like, who is that? I was like, get the fuck out of my house.
Oh, and when he showed up in Tick, Tick, Boom?
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh.
That Love moment him. Was that, moment, that, whole,
that
sequence,
whole scene.
Okay, yes, I'm ready to talk.
Beautiful.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so Tick, Tick, Boom was mine and Kayleen's number five. Yeah. And just like the moment that sells that whole movie to me and like gives it a special place in my heart now is the diner brunch song, Sunday. Mm-hmm. But it's not all of the cameos and everything that's happening. It's that powerful moment of Andrew Garfield pushing the walls out and mm-hmm. just like opening up the story and like this whole beautiful world that he has in his mind. And I just love it. It's a great... Great, well-done movie musical. But yeah, I can say more when Kayleen gets her first thoughts in.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, like, my initial reaction after seeing the movie, and I think I kind of felt, like, a feeling of conflict because his character has so many flaws and can be so difficult to watch during the movie that it's, like, frustrating. But then the more that I reflected on how I felt about it, the more that made me like it because it's so human. And he's just trying to chase something that he wants, and he's, like, you know, getting to this point in his life where he feels like he's running out of time to do that. And I just thought it was so... It's just nice to see a flawed person. It's more relatable and feels like, oh, you just want him to get it so bad.
Y'all are selling me on this movie.
Yeah, the only song that I had ever heard from the musical before going into it was the one from the end, Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And I was really impressed by, like, all the songs. The 30 song, which is, like, pretty much the opening, I was like, wow, this is... It blew me away. I'd never heard it before. I thought it was beautiful. I think it was just also just so theatrical, kind of like Courtney described. It's a spectacle. They make it seem like it's a theater performance, but still in the medium of film. I think that's all I have to say.
Nick, if you ever do decide to watch it, if possible, I would love to watch it with you.
Of course. I have a proposal. The five of us, should do an episode on Rent.
Yes.
Because I want to understand why y'all love it.
I would love to.
Oh my God.
The episode will just be me and Kayleen coming to your house and beating the shit out of you.
Listen to this.
Listen to this. Every time that you go to say something negative, we'll just sing songs over you.
All right, we've come back around.
Okay. Okay, I don't know. This I might get bumped, but No Way Home is my number four.
Hiya.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice. Well, that makes me happy that's higher on your list. I don't know. Yeah. That's like, I'm excited that you liked it.
I will continue with my number four, which is Cruella.
Oh, yay! Cute!
Fuck yeah!
Is that not higher for anyone else?
No, I still need to see it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
I forgot about it. That's why it's not higher.
It's like in my number 15, probably, but it was fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This one, I think, is so high in my list because it surprised me. I was not expecting to love it as much as I did. The, you know, fashion in it was incredible.
Yeah.
The performances were amazing. It starred two powerhouse female actresses, and... there's a second one coming, right? Do I remember that correctly?
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I am super pumped about that. And it's one that I have not watched a second time, but I'm very eager to. Like, I want that one to be one that I watch regularly because it's just such a fun time. And I can't say that, like, I've seen 101 Dalmatians, but it wasn't something that I, like, grew up with. But I do remember enough about it to get the references in Cruella. And... I don't know. It was just such a fun time, and I really enjoyed it.
Fun.
Cool.
Good choice, Jordan.
Thank you.
Kimberly.
Okay, I'm scared again. My number four is Bo Burnham Inside.
Higher!
I knew it.
Okay. My number four, and unless I don't think the boys have even seen it, and you guys already talked about it, my number four is Zola.
Oh, cool.
Wow, that's high very up. High.
It is high.
Wow.
So I thought about this a lot, and when we saw Zola in theaters, I left being like, I don't know how to rate that because I fucking loved it, and I couldn't tell if it was just because we hadn't, like, been to the movies together in a long time, and, like, it was a really fun movie watching experience, and I decided that it wasn't just a good time, it was fucking good. It was really good, and for the type of story they were telling and the type of movie it was, I literally can't think of anything I would fucking change. I had the best time. I thought it was so funny, but also really thrilling and exciting and just like cool. Everything they do just seems cool. The girls are so fucking cool and funny. And their costumes are really beautiful. And also, I think you were the one who told me about it, Courtney, but there's another podcast called Fish Netflix, and they talk about costumes a lot, and they talked about some of the meaning behind the costumes, and it's, like, really well thought out, some of the stuff that they do for the costuming. Like, they try to incorporate Wizard of Oz style stuff. So the lead is wearing like a blue outfit to symbolize like Dorothy on this adventure and kind of out of her element. And her Nikes have a red swoosh on them, like they're ruby slippers.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's just a lot of elements to this movie that are more well thought out the more that you learn about it. I thought it was so, so good. I just couldn't get it out of my head. All the leads in it are so committed. Coleman Domingo is like kind of the pimp of the group, and he is so fucking scary and so good at it. And I just recently watched the episode of Euphoria where it's just him and Rue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he has just his range is so beautiful. His conversation with Rue was so touching and sweet, and then to watch him play the like such a scary figure. Anyway, everyone did such a good job. I thought it was amazing and it really, really stuck with me. Courtney's turn, number four.
Okay, my number four, the only person I'm afraid of right now is Jordan. My number four is I Care a Lot.
Higher.
Oh, yeah. Higher! Cool. Okay. Nice!
I was right to be in fear.
So what number am I at?
Three.
Okay, so I was talking about with the Suicide Squad that it gets points for being way better than the one that before it. This movie gets points off the chain for being way better because it's Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Oh, duh. Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
That I guess that becomes my favorite. Wow, that's my favorite superhero movie of the year. I love it. I love that it's 4 hours long. It's like, I realize that it's probably like the last, it's the last bit of Zack Snyder's story that we're going to get. And so I just eat it up. I love these characters. I'm a huge superhero fan. And it is just leaps and bounds better than the original. I would give the original a half a star. And I probably gave this 5 stars. Like,
Nice.
I just truly had so much fun. And the fact that, like, I watched it with Jordan and he, like, did not hate it. And
I was like, going to say, boom. I'm not a fan of superhero movies. And I loved this. I thought it was really, really good for what it was.
So much fun, and it felt like everybody got to shine. The lack of Cyborg in the original and the fact that Cyborg is so key in this new one, it just blows me away. This movie obviously like has a lot of turmoil behind it, and I think that kind of fuels my like, yeah, get him, like, you kick ass, Zack Snyder, fuck yeah, because I feel like they did him dirty, but I'm very glad that he had the opportunity to make his film, and I think people will see that as the Justice League movie now, if they give it a shot.
Yeah.
Just a huge, huge fan of this movie.
Well, I'm glad. I know, I've heard such good things about that one.
Yeah. A DC movie from the DCEU beating all the Marvel movies. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
This year for me is a big deal. Like, Marvel movies are always at the very top of my list. Yeah, next person, I guess.
I think I can actually squeeze in my three because I can imagine that this is probably higher on someone's list, but I have Dune for my number three.
Oh,
higher.
Gotcha.
Cool. Kimmy, your number three?
Okay. All right, I know that I'm not getting bumped on this one, so now I get to talk. I'm a little scared too, though. You know, let me have this one.
Oh my god.
It's not, it's a mini series, okay?
Oh.
Sorry. It's Scenes from a Marriage. I really loved it. And I don't know how many times I can rewatch it because it's pretty difficult and the characters are like varying degrees of unlikable and very tumultuous people. But I just thought it was a masterclass in performance. And like I said in our other episode, performances this year is really what did it for me. Not a lot of story. I wasn't really motivated by a lot of stories in movies this year, which really sucks. But I just thought their chemistry was impeccable. I thought that the writing was amazing and it was very, like, touching and difficult. You know, like, slice of life, like, you're watching, like, it's pretty much like a stage-like performance, I feel like. It very, like, they have a lot of tracking shots and stuff, and, like, they're using the expanse of the space, like, really well. And it stars my two faves, like, what's not to like? I knew that regardless of what I was going to see, I was going to like it. Like, I wasn't going to not like it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I thought it was great.
So me, and I might get bumped, or it's the same place. My number three is Pig.
That is my number three.
Wow! Cool. Two matchy match. All right, let's talk about Pig. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I feel like my top three, especially, I've talked about them a lot, so I don't have too much that I want to rehash for it. So for Pig, I'll just say that it's like a very poignant, soft film that I really enjoyed on a rewatch as well. And there was a lot more to notice about it. It's definitely like a film about like finding what matters to you and seeking things out. To go into what I want to say is spoilers, and even though this is a Simply Spoilers, I would much rather have a conversation about it with maybe somebody off air about how I felt about the film. But yeah, really, really good. Great performance from Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Of course.
Kind of like Courtney said, it was a very soft film, and I just, going off of that, I just said it was a very intentional film. It's very quiet, it's very subtle. There's not really a wasted space. It knows what it wants to say, and it gets it done, and then it's over. And I really loved that about it. I also think that setting it in Portland was a really good idea, because the vibes, they're there. So, very, very good. Would love to rewatch it, but it was the most surprising film of the year for me. I had no idea it would be like that.
So I think I bumped somebody for this. Candyman?
You bumped Jordan. Nice.
Cool.
Oh, okay, cool. You go ahead.
So I don't know if we know the history behind this movie with you and I, but we covered the original Candyman.
I re-listened to that after watching the new one.
Aww.
We appreciate that. Thank you. I spoiled the remake that was coming out. It was like part of my research. And so for a while I kept like putting it to the side because I was like, I don't know if it's even worth watching now that I know what the twist is. And I think there were times when Nick was like, all right, we got to watch it now. And I was just like, no, I'm just not in the mood. So it took me a while to actually.
I offered to buy that movie when it was $20, like so many times. Yeah. Like, please watch this movie with me. I want to tell you how I feel about it.
And I was just like, no, like, let's wait till it's, you know, easier to rent. We finally did break down and rent it, and we watched it together. And I loved it. Even knowing the twist, I think I overestimated how much that would affect my viewing experience, and it really didn't. It was a gorgeous movie. The performances were amazing. And I loved the ending. I loved how it turned out. It was a really, really great compliment to the original. And it was a blast.
For people who don't, or like maybe haven't seen these movies, I cannot stress enough how important it is to watch the original and then watch the new one.
I sure wish I had.
I feel like it's like Halloween and Halloween and Scream and Scream. Like these movies are built on the idea that we're certainly introducing it into a new era, to a new audience, but they're so strongly connected to the originals that I think it's brilliant. I just, Nia DaCosta is directing the Marvels.
I'm so excited for that.
Oh my God. I'm so, like, especially now that she's completely slayed this movie. I'm a huge fan of it. So I think my problem with the first one was that, like, even though they were telling, it was like a step forward when it comes to like representation in horror cinema when it comes to African Americans. However, the star is a white lady. And like, it was like, they tried, but like, we could do better. And we did do better because Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, I think that is his, he has a beautiful name and he is a beautiful man. But talk about some body horror.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh. Yeah. I mean, he could touch me with it, but like, I'm still, I'd cringe a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's beautiful. I think I love this movie. The ending, like the last like 20 seconds of this movie, man, I am erect thinking about it.
Daniel, like, oh my God. I just called you Daniel out of instinct of like, stop saying naughty things.
Daniel!
That was such a reaction right there.
I think he'll be pleased to hear that.
I think there are,
wow.
There are a lot of people that are like, oh, you know, there wasn't enough like kills. It wasn't scary enough. And I don't know. I feel like that was like tangential to the story it was trying to tell. And I just thought it was beautiful. It was tasteful. And it was such a wonderful, I can't stress this enough, and a wonderful companion piece to the original Candyman. Absolutely killed it.
There was not a poor performance. Mm-mm. Ever in the whole movie. It was just, I loved it. I'm next, right? And we're at number two?
Yeah, number two.
I probably should have stopped, because I think this was on your, someone's honorable mention, but I have Nighthouse for number two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's okay, because it was just his honorable.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was a very unique take on horror. Again, Rebecca Hall, fantastic actor. The thing that it did with the optical illusions and everything, and it just like,
that was fun.
That'll fuck you up, man.
So good. So good.
I don't like that at all.
The use of negative space.
Yes.
Yep. And it's one that I'd have to really, I know we've had large discussions about this, Nick and I, about how different it is in horror. I would love to really dive deep into this one and study it and figure out why I loved this over so many other horror movies that I just don't think were as successful at being scary, I guess. And maybe I am just that pretentious and I just thought it was elevated, but I don't know.
You didn't like Annette. Okay.
Wasn't scary enough.
I like to think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am, I guess. But no, I really loved it. It's a great movie.
Nice.
Okay, my number two movie of the year is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay, and it was on your list, right, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
As number what?
Five. Yeah, it was five. Yeah. No, four. Four. It was four.
It's number four? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man No Way Home. So, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero. Like, he always has been, and I don't really know where that came from, because... Like, last year, I rewatched fucking Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire and Doc Ock. I hated it. It was terrible.
And then we didn't let her in our home for 2 weeks.
Just thought it was so bad. I just didn't remember it like that. But
being amazing? I did.
That is funny.
I don't know where my love for Spider-Man stemmed, but it's always been there. And it was just so... validating and nostalgic and really fulfilling to see the culmination of like the histories of Spider-Man mm-hmm. come into this movie. It's so emotional for me, and like I loved their banter, I loved their chemistry, and I guess like just looking at the press after the fact, because it was a big hush hush, you guys know, before it was released, like how much fun they had together and how much each respective Spider-Man loved and grew their love from the preceding Spider-Mans.
It seems like it was a healing process for them.
Yeah. And I also love how distinct each one was, which plays really well into the fact that they're from different universes. Like, I love that. And I also really appreciate how drastic Tom Holland's Spider-Man's character arc has been from his very first movie to now, where he is, Aunt May tells Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, like, it's not our decision, you know, who lives or dies, right? And then we see him, you know, spoilers for Spider-Man, like, stop Tom Holland's Spider-Man from making the same wrong choice, yeah. You know? Like, that it's not his decision, you know? His role as Spider-Man, like, is to, like, save people and promote, like, justice and safety. He's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, you know? And I love that he's conflicted in that movie and that they all get to help him and stuff. I love the resolution for, like, a lot of characters, for Andrew Garfield's fucking character. Yeah. Like, let's fucking talk about that. Like, so amazing. And I knew that it was going to happen, too, going in. Like, I knew. Like, there's a part in the trailer where we see Zendaya falling, and I was like, if fucking Andrew Garfield doesn't save that bitch from falling, like, I will say this is a fail, you know? But he does, and his performance is so good, and it was kind of a while ago that that movie occurred, and, like, the amount of work you would have to do as an actor, I feel like, to go back to that place.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is, like, so remarkable, I feel like they really went there in this movie, and I know that it's not perfect. Some of it is campy and some of it is rehashing, but I just really didn't care. Like,
exactly.
I loved it. Exactly. I just, like, cried through the whole thing. I thought it was so great. Okay,
Jordan can attest to this because we saw it together. I cried the entire film.
Nice. Us and our dead son.
It that movie destroyed me. Even, like, with the end credit scenes destroyed me. In my head, I guess I sort of see it on the level of, like, emotional wise as something not quite there, but, like, very close to Endgame. Like, because it's actually tying up some
hype
stories.
Hype wise,
that,
I would agree for sure.
Yeah. Like
the reactions in our theater were fucking
dark. Incredible. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I think that you said about healing. I think specifically for Andrew Garfield, who, like, came off of two movies that weren't well received and didn't get to make his third movie and is coming in, and, like, he's the one that everybody's clamoring to see more of.
Totally.
And, like, I really think that there might be an opportunity for them to develop, like, an amazing Spider-Man 3 moving forward. I've heard rumors about Spider-Gwen. Like, I mean, they have this whole other universe of characters like Venom and Morbius and people that Marvel doesn't seem to want to play with. So why not take their, you know, their new, like, people suddenly are, like, obsessed with Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know, like, I can't compare it to anything. Maybe, like, Days of Future Past, where, like, the two universes meld. And I cried through that, the whole thing, too. But, like, I don't know, just something about, like, epic team-up things. I adore this movie.
Yeah,
it's so freaking great. And the fact that it's my number four, like, attests to the fact that I adore
it. Right. Out of all the other superhero things,
all the other ones too. Yeah, it's so it's so good. I want to watch it again right now.
Okay.
I'm so glad that you love Spider-Man. That's so cool.
I love Spider-Man. I fucking love Spider-Man.
I don't know the order of Courtney's next two, so we might be on the same page with this one. But my number two is Spencer.
Yes, that is my number two.
We have three ties.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that was my number five.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I just thought it was, like, again, like, not like a movie, another movie that I'd seen this year. Like, as far as look goes, like, it was very, like, fever dream-esque, which is something that I was not expecting. I was expecting a Jackie. And I thought that Kristen Stewart's performance was transcendent. She's one of the most accomplished young actresses of our generation, I feel like. Like, nobody can say that she doesn't work hard and that she's not dedicated. Like, she is. And I thought that really came through in this performance. I thought the cinematography was great. I thought the dialogue that they had in that movie was really, like, think piecey. Like, it really made you, like, sit there and go, oh, fuck. You know, like, what is this doing to somebody's psyche?
I thought it was one of the best scripts of the year.
Yeah, it was, like, it was a really good script. And I guess that's really all I have to say about it. I just thought it was really good and beautiful to look at. And it made me think for a really long time.
I feel like So I realized after, when I was making my notes for this, I don't think I ever watched a trailer. Like, I just didn't happen upon one and I didn't go find one. So when I watched a trailer, I was like, wow, this trailer is beautiful, but it doesn't capture what is special about the movie. I just feel like there's a lot to be said for the tone and the way that things look and feel in the movie that you can't really get across in the trailer. The trailer, while it looks high energy and thrilling, it still feels like a period piece, but when you watch it, it doesn't feel that way. It feels very, like, I don't know, very relatable and very intimate. It feels very intimate, the way that we look at her situation, and like Courtney has said in the past, it's just a few days. Mm-hmm. And it really captures you in that. The direction was great. I haven't seen Jackie, but this was amazingly directed. And the last thing that I have to say about it is just that although there's a lot of sorrow and fear and, like, sad stuff going on in the movie, it ends very hopefully, which is why I really enjoyed it.
I think it really captured, like, the suffocating nature of her circumstance really mm-hmm. well. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how they did that. Like, and then the parts where I'm, like, finally get to, like, laugh, like, you know, where she's like, please leave, I must masturbate. Or, like, when she's, like, having fun with her children, it's like, I felt like I could breathe, you know, and all these other times. She has nobody. It's, like, so very clear how alone she is. And obviously that's going to get to you terribly, and it does, and that's really transcribed in this, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that. Courtney, what are your thoughts?
Kimmy and Kayleen really summed up exactly how I feel about it. There's a lot of really good stuff throughout the movie, and the performance that she delivers is phenomenal. Like, I really want her to win an Oscar for it. There's also just, like, really strong themes throughout the whole movie about no one being above tradition, and all of the monarchy rules and regulations that they have is, I think, what makes it so suffocating. But I rewatched it this morning, and there's just so much metaphor to it, like, throughout the entire thing, that I think you boys would love. And Jordan, like, I think it makes it rewatchable to, like, pick up on other things throughout it. And I think just my favorite part of it is this one shot of her after she's got these wire cutters that she pulls out and she rips open her curtains that have been sewn shut in her room because they're just trying to hide everything about her. And I really just love how defiant she is as a character. I know Diana was the same way, but she's also a real person. And I don't want to speak too much about the actual woman. I just kind of want to talk more about Kristen's performance. And I thought that was really good characterization throughout it. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. It's one that I have to sit with for a while, and I would definitely want to watch it again. So, yeah.
All right, Nicholas, let's go.
So, like, I just want to say that, like, I was overwhelmed by the amount of movies when I was looking through that I actually haven't seen this year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've explained a little bit of that to you guys this evening. But it really was hard for me to break down and to pick my, like, top 10 mm-hmm. favorite movies. That was just something. You know, like, I have a top 10 favorite movies of all time, but I don't typically do a year to year, and that's so much fun, and I really enjoy doing that. And while 2 through 10 were very hard to place in order, 1 was a fucking given. Absolutely. Forever and ever, amen. I know that you guys probably don't like it, and I know that it's not perfect, but it's a fucking Halloween movie. Halloween Kills is my favorite movie of the year. I've probably watched it, like,
we saw it. Probably it was the most you've ever been on Letterboxd. Yeah.
I watched it a whole lot. It was, like, because it was on Peacock, and then I bought it on Amazon when I was able to come out and watched it over and over again. And I'm, like, super into all the special features and stuff, and I know that people give it shit because it feels, like, very much like the middle story. Yeah. Like, the middle part. Like, a trailer for Halloween Ends. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like it does, but it also does things that I've never seen a Halloween movie do, and someone who's seen all of them a million times. The fact that they made such an interesting commentary on, like, mob mentality and
yeah.
the really painted Haddonfield as a character. And to me, I think, because I'm always thinking ahead when it comes to, not like in life, but for the next movies and stuff, you can tell that they are setting up characters in Haddonfield to go on after Jamie Lee Curtis is not there anymore. Because Halloween is not going to end, even though Halloween ends coming out. It's never going to end. Like, Michael Myers is, you know, a popular character. They're not going to stop making movies about him. But this will probably be Jamie Lee Curtis's last hurrah. They're not going to do a Halloween 60 years later. So, just the fact that this movie really kind of introduces you to a town that, like, even though there's been so many movies about it, I feel like I got such a much better idea of that town and the people in it in this movie. And I really, really enjoyed that. Obviously, I'm just a huge Michael Myers fan. And I don't know. I mean, talking about this movie, like, makes me emotional as well, because it's the original Halloween is my favorite movie of all time. And then the Rob Zombie one came out. That was my favorite movie of all time. And then the 2018 movie came out. That was my favorite movie of all time. I just am obsessed with these movies. I'm obsessed with Halloween. I love Michael Myers. I have two now. I have two Michael Myers, like, plant bases.
Oh, really?
With his face on them. Yeah, that will just stay up all year long. I have a tattoo for Halloween.
You had a life-size, like, robot at one point, too.
Yeah.
Define life size. That sounds scary.
Genuinely.
Yeah, it's a life-size animatronic Michael Myers. And I think that if someone could, like, get inside my mind just for a moment to just see how much I'm obsessed with this franchise, you would get it. But I know it doesn't make sense. I know it's not on any of y'all's lists. I know none of you like the movie. But I still love it. I give it 100 out of 10.
I love that you love it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
One of my favorite reviews that I've ever read, I don't remember what movie it was from, but Courtney said something like, "I'm happy for my friend Nick." And I was like, yes, exactly.
Yeah. It was this one.
It was this one?
Yes. That's funny.
Yeah, I think it was. Because, like, I know that you guys could probably all rip this movie a new one. And I appreciate that you did it.
No, we're nice.
This is a very important movie to me. And I know, even though Scream came out and I absolutely loved Scream, I know that next year when this happens again, Halloween Ends is going to be my favorite movie. I just know it. When a Halloween movie comes out, it's my favorite movie of the year.
I'm very happy for my friend Nick.
Okay, everybody else has number ones too. Let's talk about those.
All right, Jordan, what's your number one?
Yes, my number one is I Care a Lot.
That makes me so happy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I love that movie so much.
That's awesome.
I think of all of the ones that, of all the movies that I saw in 2021, this one stuck out to me and I remember it like the best. Courtney, if you want to, I know this is on your list too, if you want to talk about it, go for it.
Oh, yeah, it was my number four, and I was able to rewatch everything in my top five, which made me really happy, because I wanted to go back for it and see what I loved about it, and then the rewatch of this one just shot it right into the top five. I was like, this is such a good movie. It is so feminist, like, just dropping these little seeds of, like, I'm a woman, and I will end you because of that, and she says it to all kinds of people, and I really enjoy that it's a female-female relationship. They're going against men, but they're kicking ass the entire time. Like, I forgot Chris Messina was in it, and so then when she's like ripping him to shreds, I was just like, I really enjoyed it. The music in it was super David Finchery to me. Like, I felt like I was listening to like a Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross score, and the look of it was just so fun. Like, there's those scenes of her at like Soul Cycle where she's clearly like plotting some shady shit, and it's just so intense and hyped up, and I really enjoyed that. The ending, it hurts, but it's like a necessity. It's like, it's there to, like, wrap the story up and kind of speak to the fact that she is a bad person, but she does care a lot, and I love her.
She does.
And Rosamund Pike can do all the crime she wants. I think that she should be allowed.
I think that was the first movie that introduced me to Rosamund Pike, and I am a forever fan now. I also did not like the ending, but really there was no other way that it could have happened.
There's not.
It had to happen. Yeah, I know. One of the biggest things that I appreciated the hell out of when watching this movie was that Peter Dinklage is in it, and there is, you know, like you said, an LGBTQIA+ relationship in it, and none of it was None of it was sort of like featured as a plot device. Like, it, neither having, you know, a little person or, you know, a gay person in the movie made their story any better or any worse. They were normal people. And that, I think, is representation at its finest. And I've never really seen a movie do that before. And this one, I just think, did it perfectly. And it really, really stood out to me in that way. Performances, again, I feel like I've said that about every single movie. But like you said, performances this year are just incredible. It was just the best. It was just so good. And I just, thinking about it just makes me so happy. They made us fall in love with this really, really terrible, terrible woman. And I, like,
the way, she's so sexy.
Yeah.
It is crazy how, like, magnetic she is, even though we're watching her do terrible things. And I guess you're right, like, at the end, like, I was like, fuck yeah, good. Mm-hmm. But
damage had already been done, so at that point it's like you're a little too late. But
no, but she doesn't get to enjoy the spoils anymore.
Yeah, but she, like, still created an empire that's going to do exactly what she did, so that's right. I just think, yeah, I think, like, the ending, it all comes down to it not really being about what she did and what her crimes are. It came down to misogyny. It came down to a man needing to end this woman because he thinks he should be above her and because that's what matters. And so I like that, because if it had been that she succeeds and keeps going, or if it had been just anyone from her past that's not specifically a misogynist doing that, like, it wasn't as if Peter Dinklage had turned on her. It was instead that this person who felt like he was wronged because she is a woman and because... I know she did a lot of bad stuff to him and his mom, but the misogyny that he came in with, like, he yells, "I hope you get raped," to her. So it's kind of like, this is the world that she's existing in, and this is who she's trying to fight against. And it sucks that he was the one to bring her down, but it also kind of spoke to what it was she was fighting for. Even though she was screwing over old people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's so good.
Yes.
Can I just have, like, a question. I know we're still, we need to wrap stuff up. Rosamund Pike is, like, incredible, but I've really only seen her in, like, two things. Can you, like, recommend other things that she's in that are good?
Sadly, no.
really?
I've
watched so much Rosamund, and at the end of it, I go, oh, Rosamund, the things I do for you. yeah, like, and she even, like, is showing her titties out there in movies that don't deserve her titties. So that's a bummer.
Wow. Yeah.
Her leads, it's really hard, and it's very slim pickings, but she's great in the side parts in An Education, and she's, like, a prominent Bennett sister in Pride and Prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Good pickings, Jordan.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to go.
All right.
Everybody
knows already. My favorite movie of 2021 was Dune.
Nice.
And it was on someone else's list, too.
It's Jordan. Online, yeah.
Jordan. Jordan. Jordan loves talking cow. Okay.
I loved Dune, you guys. I can't believe it.
I really, like, wasn't expecting to like it. I knew I was going to like it, but I didn't know I was going to like it that much. Like, I couldn't believe how long it was because I felt like it was so short.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was over, I was like the music was rising and he goes, "Hey, this is just the beginning." And I was like, that sounds like an end of the movie line. And then it was over and I was like,
oh, and then we couldn't get her to stop sobbing. We were like, Kimmy, stop.
I just like this. Coming from somebody whose favorite movie in the entire world is Lord of the Rings, this is a movie for me.
Just going to ask you how you thought it compared to that one. Like, did it beat? I can't imagine it beat Lord of the Rings, but...
It didn't beat Lord of the Rings.
That's what I thought.
Nothing can beat Lord of the Rings, the greatest movie ever made, okay? But as far as, like, the expanse and epicness of it and the world building, I just think it's, like, very much in the same vein. Like, it's an epic, you know, just like Lord of the Rings is. And I said this before, but I just felt like there were things in that movie that I'd never seen in a movie before. Like, maybe, like, similarly, but the way that it looked, I thought was so unique. Like, I'm not super versed in, like, the Dune world, so maybe Courtney can help because she knows a lot more. I just think they did a really good job making this world feel so individual, you know, and, like, just, like, I didn't feel like, oh, I've seen this in Star Wars before, you know, I thought that it was, like, its own, you know? And I think that's hard because mm-hmm. there's a lot of sci-fi out there. And I just, like, you know, we've said time and again how incredible the score is. Like, I love it. Like, it just, like, when you listen to a score and it, like, makes, it, like, rises something in you, I'm like, that fucking slaps. It slaps.
It slaps.
And I came there for Timmy, and I came there for Oscar Isaac, and I left, like, a Rebecca Ferguson fan. Like, she was the standout performer to me. I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, I hope she stays for a while. Like, I don't know what happens in Dune, but, like, I'm kind of nervous for her character. I just thought she was so amazing. I hate when I find movies that I like because I don't have anything interesting to say. I'm just like, it was amazing. You know, like,
it's too overwhelming.
It is. It is overwhelming. And I think this movie was overwhelmingly good. And, man, I just feel like it's a lot to live up to, you know, and I don't feel safer in anybody else's hands but Denis. Mm-hmm. Like, go him. Go him. I'm there. I'm fucking there, you know? Jordan, please say something more verbose.
No, you did a great job.
Than me, please.
This movie felt to me, it was almost like what Avatar wanted to be. It was a marvel in both visuals and, like, audio design and production. And like you said, the music was incredible. And my regret was not seeing it like 8 more times in theaters. Cause like watching it on the TV, I can't imagine is going to be as incredible as a theater experience. I'll get a lot of shit for this, but I've never really understood the hype with Timothée Chalamet. He's a good actor. I just didn't understand like why people like were obsessed with him so much. And now I get it. Like now I understand. It was just incredible. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, but it just was so good.
It was so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang, it was so good.
So good.
Okay, so my number one, before I say it, I was just thinking, like, literally during this conversation, there was a moment in the year after we had seen Dune and Courtney had seen Spencer where the girls were like, I think I found my favorite movie of the year. And I was like, where's mine? Like, where is something that I connect to? Where is this movie of mine? And as I was making my list, I had this epiphany of like, oh my God, you just forgot about it because it was so long ago during Oscar season. It's The Father.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I like pretty much forgot about it. It's another movie that's listed as 2020, but it did not come out in the US until 2021. And it was another one kind of like Pig where I was so shocked at how fucking good it was because it sounds like a snooze fest and it's based on a play. And although we love theater, movies based on plays are often butts and like not interesting and they stay in one room the whole time. And this was not that. They used, so a lot of it does take place in his flat, but they used the space so well for the story that they were telling. Because essentially, you're seeing what it's like to have Alzheimer's or dementia, but through the person's eyes. So as we were watching it, it's like a fucking horror film, where you feel comfortable and you get to know characters, and then they come back and they're someone else. Or you're meeting his daughter again, but it's played by a different actress. And it's just so, you never know when they're gonna fucking flip the switch on you, and like, people start to act rude who weren't rude before, and you're like, are they just getting frustrated because he can't remember things? And it's so upsetting on like a visceral level because it's frustrating and you can't figure out what's going on. And I just couldn't believe what I was watching. And like, although I've never experienced, like I haven't had to go through a loved one of mine going through that, I also watched this just a couple months after my dad passed away, so it was, like, really hitting for me. And there's a monologue at the end of the film, which is just already heartbreaking. And as much as I wish Chadwick Boseman won that Oscar, and how anticlimactic it was that Anthony won it and he wasn't there, he still deserved that Oscar, because that last scene of the movie, I, like, can't even talk about it or I'm gonna cry.
I'm getting emotional thinking about it.
It's so beautiful. And devastating, and to have a movie that can portray something that I think people have been trying to articulate for probably, you know, for years and years, and to, not to say this is exactly how it feels, but it felt like I was getting a view at something that I wouldn't otherwise know how it feels. It was so good. I can't, like, praise it enough. It did everything for me. Not super rewatchable because it's fucking heavy, but it was so good. It was so good and so unexpected. That's mine. Dang,
that definitely would have been on my list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, my number one was on Kimmy's list. I think it was your number four.
Yeah.
It's Inside by Bo Burnham.
Yes!
Yeah, what do you want to say, Kimmy?
I just feel like if any film represents, you know, the experience of that year, it was that.
Yeah.
And I also think, I think maybe you both said it, like, a while ago, but that it came out at the perfect time.
Yeah.
You know, because I recently rewatched it, and I was like, it's not that long ago at all, and it's still happening, but
yeah,
the feelings evoked from that movie, I felt that time, and now I'm like, it feels so far away, even though it's really not, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel like it was so unique to watch a movie that portrays what you're going through right now. I thought it was probably the most creative thing that I saw that year. And the songs are so catchy and emotional. And I feel like we'll probably show that to people.
Oh, absolutely.
Like later on, like several years from now, and be like, this is kind of like what it was like, you know? Please take over. I don't think that I'm being very eloquent tonight, but I'm excited to hear what Courtney has to say.
No, I echo everything that Kimmy said, and I've also talked about this one a fair bit, and I know that the boys love it as well, like we all do. And I did get the opportunity to see it in theaters, which just kind of solidified it there for me as it being my favorite movie of 2021, because it's so rewatchable in the same, like, monotonous way that we've been living for the past 2 years, mm-hmm. But it's a comfort every time, and it's a comfort as I drive and listen to the songs in my car. And it honestly feels as though it came out in 2020 to the point where I'm, like, imprinting these memories whenever I hear FaceTime with my mom, which I think that song is amazing. it's one of my favorites. But I've imprinted this memory of listening to it on my little twin-size bed in my grandma's house when I lived with her during quarantine. And it didn't exist then. Bo Burnham was still creating this piece of art. And so I didn't even hear it until a year after that, in May of 2021, but it still just feels exactly like those feelings that I felt. And there's this impending doom of turning 30 that I get to not fear anymore, because I'm just gonna, like, sing it out with an iPhone light.
Of
apparently
course, that's on our playlist.
Yeah, and so that'll
in
be
just
okay.
Your underwear,
in just
know.
My underwear. That's what that's. Yeah. We're gonna have an underwear party when we hang out in April. Not at all. Yeah, it's a beautiful work of art, and I cried during Bo Burnham's Make Happy. I fully cry during that special, and then we get this one, which is far heavier. It's not being performed for the masses in front of everybody, but a song like All Eyes on Me is still just like, it makes me cry the way that I think I would if I had seen it live, and the way that I know he couldn't have done it live because of just everything he experienced prior, and obviously we're in a pandemic, but it's just like, there's this nice history of how he felt about performing come this time, and then he creates this amazing song with crowd noises and interactions with his crowd, and it's really, really genius the way that he does it. I mean, if you think about one of the first songs, he has like a laugh track, but then later he's created this whole concert in a tiny cottage. There's just something about every song in there that the Jeffrey Bezos that hits in a way that's not just, not just comedy to me though. I'm like, this is like an empowering song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I run to that song.
I like to say drink blood.
Yeah. And then there's a white woman's Instagram, like on the surface level seems to be this mockery of white women and being materialistic or vain or not really having like the words to express themselves. But then Bo just gets this other layer where he's not laughing at women anymore. He is instead like, I don't know, just expressing something so beautiful that I really appreciate.
I think my favorite line from a song of all time is Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett. You're just fucking
See, fuck their wives, drink their blood.
God, Jeff, get him. So funny. He's brilliant. He needs to act in more amazing movies directed by incredible filmmakers.
Look at him being in your two number ones 2 years in a row.
That's awesome.
We did it, guys.
Thank you so much.
thank you guys so much. This was a blast.
Thank you for having us. This was awesome.
And for five people on a podcast, this went so well.
Yeah, it
totally
so
did.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that of the five of our, well, I guess of the four of y'all's top movies or whatever, I've seen two of them, but like the next two movies I want to see are The Father and Dune. Like I y'all talked them up very well, and I totally see why I Care a Lot and Inside are like, and I'm not like fishing for y'all to be like, I know Halloween Kills was wonderful. I just telling you, y'all have really,
and it made you really want to go rewatch Halloween Kills.
Y'all have like really good picks. I applaud all four of you. In your top fives, I probably have seen like two or three of them at the very most in each of them. But they're all good movies. You guys have good taste.
So do you too. And I just think it's really nice to see how much taste is factored into it. Like, these are very clearly a Jordan top five and the rest of us. And that's why I also want to say to you, Nick, like, I really enjoyed hearing your thoughts on all of those other movies you chose.
Thank you.
Yeah, you definitely give me an appreciation for Justice League.
Oh, well, good. I was just trying to be like, because I feel like I could easily pick like all the superhero movies because they all just made me so excited or whatever. But I was excited that at least like, even if my list wasn't like filled with wonderful movies, it was like a diverse range. So that was what I was going for.
Yeah.
It was a good range.
Yeah.
We're going to start round 13 pretty soon. That'll be our next episode. But more importantly, we're going to meet these motherfuckers in person soon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very exciting. Oh, and we're going to do Rent on take three.
And then Jordan, Kayleen, and I can explain Annette.
Jesus Christ. I will be absent that day. I'll be sick. So sorry.
We love you so much, boys.
We love you guys.
We love this you was more, so fun. Guys. Thank you so
nice
much.
Nice to see you, babies.
For having us. It was lovely to see you all, too.
You can find them at Take3AMP on Instagram and Take 3 Movie Podcast on all podcast
platforms. But don't listen to us. Only listen to these guys.
No, your Austin we Powers episode, movies. Up here. Your Lake Placid episode, down here. Fix it. I learned nothing.